So if you take major plot elements from a bunch of different movies, do you get to call it your screenplay? By the way, I was only here for the throat ripping. Because we're talking movies, we're talking Roadhouse, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor, and Daniela Melchior, written by Anthony Barzagli and Chuck Mondry, and directed by Doug Liman. Chris, they're never going to find that guy's body. Crocs hide their food.
Before we start, do you have insurance? Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of How'd You Like That Movie? We're going to be definitely talking about the recent release, the 2024 remake of Roadhouse, and I have a feeling we also might be talking a little bit about the 1989 Patrick Swayze film by the same name, also Roadhouse. Scott, take us away.
All right, so, okay, let's be honest here, because I kind of buried everything in my opening there. This really does seem like something that they, you know, just threw a coat of paint on and just decided to call it Roadhouse because it was a recognizable IP. Now, this film does seem to be casting a very big shadow of negative press prior to its release. You got the director's boycott of its release.
Well, he said he was going to boycott. He actually didn't end up boycotting the South by Southwest release because, of course, he didn't.
But then you got the original writer of the original film stating that AI was used to finish this film during the strike so it could be released before his copyright claim, I guess, could be resolved.
And I'm assuming you're referring to R. Lance Hill, David Lee Hill, Henry or whatever?
David, yeah. And then
he's Canadian, by the way.
Hey, all good guys are. But for me, I think if they didn't have the Roadhouse title and just decided to call this movie Bouncer, I would have been all fucking for it. And I think the thing with remakes, no matter what it is, and, you know, it is something that's kind of, you can't help, is you have to, like, the minute you start remaking a film, you're comparing, contrasting it to the original. And let's be honest here. The original is a cult classic because it's a definition of 90s. It's big hair, big tits, and big explosions.
And big monster trucks. Is that actually Bigfoot with a paint job in the original Roadhouse, do you think?
I don't know.
It looks like fucking Bigfoot. And I mean, just sidebar before we get into this, I'm like, did Ford sponsor this fucking film? Because, like, obviously, Bigfoot's a Ford. The guy owns a Ford dealership. Like, all of this stuff. Between Pepsi Cola and Ford, I was like, you couldn't get any more branding stuck into this thing.
But yeah, so that's the thing. Like, there are some good qualities. I think McGregor did very well as Knox. He was entertaining. I think Gyllenhaal did a great job too, right? When it wasn't like the fighting stuff, I just think the acting was done well. But to me, it's like, I still like don't understand the point of this movie. The point of this movie is you have the main bad guy who's pretty much, you know, motivation is, you know, 1979's Lex Luthor, you know, he needs more land. And, you know, so he just decides to fuck shit up instead of, like, if he's that fucking rich, he can't just buy the fucking land or just fuck it up and just, you know, build his resort and just have that fucking place, like, at the end of it, like, fuck it, right? I'll get it eventually. Like, to me, I still don't see why this movie had to happen.
Okay, so you're right. So first off, when you do remakes, you obviously end up in a kind of a contrast type of situation. And I 100% agree with you. The original Roadhouse is a cult classic. So now you're also fucking with stuff that people have some strong opinions on or definitely have some nostalgic place in their heart. To your point about the plot, I mean, as you were talking, I'm like, okay, because I obviously watched both of these films. And my recommendation would be watch the new one first, because the old one will wash the fucking disgusting taste out of your mouth. Right? It's sort of like you take the medicine and then you take the sugar. I mean, I know it's a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. I needed a 90 minute or 2 hour film to wash the fucking bad taste out of my mouth from this fucking film. So to my point though, your plot situation, it's fine. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be like super logical. I mean, in the original Roadhouse, the dude is pissed off at some people because they're not paying their basically like protection racket. But I don't even, other than him firing, like Swayze firing his nephew, that's the only, like, unless I missed something, like that's the only real reason he kind of gets involved with the big bad in the original Roadhouse. Do I have that right? Because he's not trying to buy the Roadhouse. He's not trying to buy the Roadhouse.
No, because he technically owns the town, right?
Yeah.
They each pay him like 10% of his shit. But, you know, the main bad guy is a fucking asshole because, you know, you lift up a helicopter just to fly it over your neighbor's house so it fucks up his horses, and then you just land the helicopter back.
Oh, like, I'm not saying he's not an asshole, but like in the original, you're kind of being like, oh, this plot is kind of silly, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like in the original one, all the Roadhouse stuff almost has nothing to do with like the subplot of like paying the protection racket. Like,
no, but what I mean, like in terms of the plot for the original, like Swayze's character of Dalton is a cooler. Mm. That's his job, is to cool down like these bars that are, you know, super aggressive and make them. So he's kind of like, what's that reality TV show that they have now? Like Restaurant Confidential or like, sure, bar rescue. He's technically bar rescue guy, right? Like, hey, this is what you need to do to make your fucking, you know, money, right? And make it profitable, which you see that during this film. Like in the original, you see the establishment getting better. More and more people are coming, the more he gets involved. Explain to me how in this movie, once Gyllenhaal's character is involved, did that restaurant or bar get any better, or was it the same amount of clientele day and night?
Yeah, okay, so let's start picking this thing apart. So first off, you can tell that they're trying to like hit some of those story beats off the original, right? Like she goes and finds but in the original, like you said, Patrick Swayze's character is already a cooler. I'm assuming, I know he's got New York plates on his Mercedes. I'm going to assume the bar he was at is in New York. Like, are we going to?
Oh, I think it's just all around. Like, the Mercedes is his, like, you know, because he's a professional, the Mercedes is his actual fucking car. And then the minute he gets to town, he just buys the biggest piece of shit.
No, I understand that. But I mean, that opening scene,
that could be his original. I don't know if that's the
original. Anyway, the point is that we open with him being a cooler at a very big, like, I mean, a chick rolls in a Ferrari. Like, that's like the opening scene, basically. And then he gets kind of poached to come down to the South to, like, take care of this bar. Which I found interesting because $5,000 is what Jake Gyllenhaal's character is paid for 4 weeks to clean up this bar. It's also what Patrick Swayze's character was paid in 1989 or 1990 to clean up that bar. So Jake Gyllenhaal definitely got ripped off in that situation.
you're saying inflation.
They didn't even rejig it for inflation. It's the same $5,000. So I get it. Like, okay, so you don't want to do the exact same thing. So you've got Jake Gyllenhaal as this kind of like down and out UFC fighter. So first off, the part I was angry right away. As soon as it was like, okay, so that's fucking Post Malone supposedly being a brawler. Okay. So let Jake Gyllenhaal beat the fucking shit out of him. Like the whole, oh, I know who you are, you're so scary. Like, fuck that, man. Like, that was like, I wanted to watch fucking Post Malone get like one kicked in the fucking head.
See, my problem with that opening of this movie, of this new one, is it, like I said, it seems like it was cut and paste because there was a lot of like bad VFX visual effects in that first fight with Post Malone, where he's like throwing punches and then they decide to like put it into like CGI, like CGI him throwing a punch. Well, so how bad
can you actually apply that to basically 90% of the fight scenes in this film? And I'm gonna get into even just the camera movements, but like they all felt like they had like motion smoothing on or something like that. Like they didn't seem dynamic.
Yeah, it seemed like they were like, listen, we just watched The Flash and we like those CGI things, so we're gonna put that in you know, the movie, which like to me it kept on throwing me out, right? Like I'm like, why the fuck is this?
Listen,
like,
I'm so glad you brought up The Flash, because the DOP is Henry Branham and that is his film. He did The Flash, what is it, Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. He did Suicide Squad. And then all of us, as soon as I looked that up, I was like, now this all makes sense. His cinematography has that kind of Marvel CGI feel to it. And I was like, okay, that's it. Like, I don't know why they didn't bring in like a cinematographer that like has more realistic fight, fight credentials. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That was the thing that threw me off. But also, like, again, like in terms of plot, so okay, the owner of the bar, the Roadhouse, which they called the Roadhouse, shows up, sees the scam that technically Gyllenhaal has, right? Like he just shows up, people are scared of him because what, he's a UFC fighter that apparently killed somebody who was his friend in
the ring,
which I'm pretty sure would never happen in the UFC.
Okay, but whatever. It's movies.
I'm just saying, the minute they throw two or three unresponsive, like the ref stops them.
Sure.
He went like 10 or 12 in the flashback. But so she never sees him fight, only knows about his UFC career. And then she's like, you're the guy I want. Even though she showed up for Post Malone. Because that was the guy she originally wanted to see.
Yeah.
So never saw him fight, never nothing, but whatever. He shows up and then that's it. It's off to the races. It's 100% like now he's like, Jesus Christ, he's the savior.
Well, and right? Even, okay, like, so he's doing these like kind of like smoker fights to make money. Like that's what he's doing. So then this chick is like, I'm going to pay you $5,000 a week to come down to my club for 4 weeks, and he's like, no. And then, like, later in the film, when he, like, doesn't take that big fucking thing of money, like, there's so much about this film where the characters don't, first off, the characters are not defined well enough, they're not three-dimensional enough, that they have their own kind of, like, forward momentum. So, in the original Roadhouse, like, things, as much as it can be a bit cheesy, things make sense. Patrick Swayze's a professional. So he gets offered money. So of course he leaves the bar and he goes somewhere else. He does his whole shtick. That works out there. Even his interaction with the doctor. Like in the original Roadhouse, when he meets the doctor, they're flirting like right off the bat. And then he invites her for a drink. In this one, it's like tension. And then it's like, pick you up on this fucking boat and take you out to like a makeout session. Like it just... everything felt like, again, like they took the story beats from the original Roadhouse, but they didn't weave them together and create the natural like story that should happen between these characters. They're just like, oh, now he's going to fall in love with the doctor. Oh, so another example of this is in both Roadhouses, the kind of like head bartender server, the head server brings Dalton breakfast. But in Swayze's Roadhouse, when he rolls in, he's looking cool. He's looking fine. She's flirting with him. Like, she wants to know who he is. Like, who's this hot man in my bar? So when she brings him breakfast, it's because she wants to get some more time with him. And then you get to see his butt and all that. So it all makes sense. In this, it's more platonic. It's not even platonic. It's more just like server, customer. Hey, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, oh, and I brought you breakfast because I didn't think you'd need it. It's like... there's no rationale or logic for a lot of what the characters don't have their own motivations. They're doing things because the scriptwriter wrote them to do those things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
Okay, and that's the end 100%. Of our show.
No, I get what you're saying. Because, yeah, I agree. Like, there's certain the journey he's supposed to be going on. Like once it got to the third final act and this turned into fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger's Commando, I'm like, come on. Right? Because now he's a UFC fighter, but he knows how to
do explosives.
Not only explosives, but you know, he's whatchamacallit? What's the word? A closeted serial killer, because he can now disguise murders. He's like, I'm not supposed to know how to do this, but I know how to do this. He literally says it. Mm. Like, I wish I didn't know how to do this, but I know how to do this.
When in reality, all he is a UFC fighter that accidentally killed a guy once in a ring.
Right. Because, yeah, like when he gets to the cop and he starts talking about concussions, but then he brings the dead body and starts shooting the dead body. Like, to me, they already had their MacGuffin at the beginning when they started talking about the crocodiles.
Yes.
That they already identified is living right underneath his boat. So he could have just been feeding the dead bodies to that croc.
Well, and even that, so again, there's so much, yeah, this thing falls apart so easily, like a beef brisket or something. So you're an old man that lives in the Florida Keys beside a known, like, there's fucking alligators or crocodiles or whatever, which one they have there. Do you think you are letting your little dog run around the fucking area where alligators are and then are surprised that the fucking thing ate your fucking dog? No, you are not.
No one believes that his dog got eaten.
Yeah, it's also Florida. Like, the idea, like, a kid got eaten at fucking Disney World, man. Like, this is known shit. Go to Florida, try not to get, like, killed by someone on, like, smoking fucking bath salts or eaten by an alligator or crocodile. I always get those confused. But, like again, this film just... Another thing. Okay, I did not go into this movie thinking I was going to watch fucking Lawrence of a fucking Arabia. I'm like, all right, we're going to watch some badass motherfuckers do some badass motherfucking shit. And it felt very, like, cheesy. It's like they didn't... Okay, the original Roadhouse is comical because it's so over the top. But they are definitely shooting it like a serious film. Like, the filmmaking part of it is very serious. Like, they do a great job. Things are well edited. The story's a bit ridiculous. But you can buy into it because it's not cartoonish. It's action, but it's not cartoonish. This felt almost like Hot Shots Part Deux at points. Like they're almost trying to parody the genre, except that they didn't do a good job. Like, it's not a parody. So you're like, oh, that's a bit over. Like, when the dude gets thrown from the boat, what's his name? It's Brandt, but Billy Magnuson, who's a fantastic actor, by the way. He gets thrown, like, the boat hits a fucking rock, basically, throws him through the air. He lands in a building, and he's still alive, spoiler alert, like, for, you know, Conor McGregor to fuck around with him. I'm like, come on. Like, seriously, like, and again, Jake Gyllenhaal suddenly knows how to do fucking, like, explosives. Like, he's making IEDs that are, like, remote control. Like, what the fuck? Again, in the original one, the characters do things that are roughly within their skill set. The stakes get risen. Like, again, Patrick Swayze shows up. He's just going to do the job. The job starts escalating. He meets the girl. He meets the townspeople. Then in that, they keep making reference in the 2024 Roadhouse to, like, it's sort of like a Western. The little girl at the bookstore. I would say that Patrick Swayze is more like the Man with No Name in that. Like, he comes in to do one job, but then he sees how the townsfolk are being treated, and he just can't stand it. And then they go after the people that matter to him. And then that is when he snaps. Jake Gyllenhaal is just doing shit because he's just doing shit. Like, at no point do you feel any chemistry between him and like, these characters. Like, he meets a little girl and talks about a book for a little bit. And then gives her and her dad, like, a big chunk of money. Like, they're just doing shit that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, I understand. But also, some of the stuff that I didn't, like, threw me off. And that's why I think... I don't know if the original writer's claim is correct, but it does seem rushed. Like, the sheriff interrogation scene that's inside the truck, or like inside his squad car, whatever, what I'm talking about. Why every time it was face forward, the sheriff's face was blurred. It just seems like they couldn't get that shot, and then instead of trying to redo that shot, they just blurred it. Because Gyllenhaal's in perfect focus, but the sheriff's talking, and he's not in focus at all. His face is blurry, except for when they do the behind the head shots, his face is focused. So if that was supposed to be a mystery of who he is, like, it was a very bad job. Because fucking, like, why? Why do it? Especially when, you know, like, I'll do this. They did something correct on here. They hired two fucking amazing Portuguese actors. And when you have the sheriff being played by Joaquin de Almeida, right? You get that fucking face on camera. You get that fucking face on camera. You get it in focus. Because if he's the catalyst, the fucking, now the end of Fast and Furious, he can be the fucking catalyst of this movie too.
Well, and also Daniela, how do you say her last name?
Daniela Moncler?
Yeah, she's Portuguese as well. Actually, I think she's got a pretty big career in Portugal.
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%. So that's what I'm saying. Like, they had this, but it just seems like it was cut together. Like, the other problem I had was, like, it was the boat scene too, when it's like, oh, this is a double cross. You don't have my daughter. Oh, actually, I do have your daughter. What? Like, ooh, a double cross. You're just like, what the fuck? Right? Like, and the whole point is she's, you know, the dad's there chilling and he doesn't hear the fucking fire extinguisher getting smashed against the thing for however long she was doing it.
Well, like, and again, like, Jake Gyllenhaal has like a very small relationship with her. So this idea that he's now this, like, big savior, that he's going to go on. Also, okay, listen, as someone who served in the Navy, as someone who drove, like, small fast boats as part of my trade and stuff like that, what the fuck is this nonsense where you have a houseboat and basically, like, the middle of the water and people just naturally know how to fucking navigate there? You know how fucking hard it is to navigate in open water? It's very, very fucking difficult unless you're using, like, GPS or, like, you have charts or something. All these motherfuckers, all of them, Conor McGregor, fucking Gyllenhaal, all of them, they're just jumping in boats and, like, it's like, oh, just go down to the tree, make a left, and there's a fucking houseboat. Boom. So I'm like, how are they fucking in this fucking boat? So one of my big criticisms of this film is, as I said, you go into this, you're going to watch bad people do bad things. It should be fun. You've got a director who did the fucking Bourne Identity. Like, Doug Liman has done, and he did Edge of Tomorrow. He's done big action fix. But I'm specifically going to talk about the Bourne Identity. Because I remember seeing Bourne Identity, the fight choreography in that. I remember at the time it was just like, you were inside the fight. Like, it was so intense. And the cinematographer on that was Oliver Wood. I don't know why he did not go back and get Oliver. He's still working. Like, he just did a film. And bring back a proper fight choreographer. Or, sorry, a fight cinematographer, not choreographer. Because the fight scenes were cheesy. They were so cheesy. Also, they keep using, like, what's called a whip pan. It's basically where you have the camera. I think it's probably either shoulder mounted or it's up on a tripod or whatever. And they're, like, whipping the camera back. I mean, if you're just listening, they're basically moving the camera very quickly back and forth to follow the action. It's nauseating and it's fucking cheesy as fuck. I was like, is this some, like, first year film school bullshit? The fucking script is atrocious. Like, the dialogue and stuff. Like, one of the things I noticed when I watched the original Roadhouse is it, as the dialogue's a lot more sparing. It's so natural. Like, it's like people only talk when they would normally actually talk. They're not trying to have, like, super cool catchphrases. I get it. Like, the, like, be nice. That's the big one that kind of comes out of the original Roadhouse, right? But even that, it makes sense. He's like, do this, and be nice. If a guy does this, be nice. Like, he's, that dialogue feels natural. It feels like the character would say that. This feels like they're trying to just put in all these fucking notable quotables. And on the topic of dialogue, when you have someone like Conor McGregor, who's got, like, that presence, but he's also not like a natural actor, maybe for his first fucking film, don't give him a ton of dialogue. Because it also looked like they had to do it in ADR, because it's at points that you can almost feel the dubbing. Like, originally when I first heard him talk, I was like, is he trying to do an American accent or whatever? It's just a bad dubbing job. Or it might have been AI. Like I said, like, they may have actually did what they're accused of doing, using AI during the strike. Someone like Conor McGregor, and we talk about this with Benicio Del Toro all the time. Someone like Conor McGregor, you have him in a fucking scene. If some guy's fucking chattering, you could just have Conor McGregor, like, look at that motherfucker, squinch up his face, and that motherfucker's going to shut up. You know what I mean? I would have removed a lot of his dialogue. The dialogue I did give him, like, chill out, get to the choppa, whatever. I would have made that really cool.
Yeah, that's sort of like Jan's.
What's that?
That's not his dialogue. That's Schwarzenegger.
No, but I'm using that as an example. Is that, like, you remember hasta la vista, babe. Like, you remember that stuff because it's so sparing. And then he delivers this line. It's sort of like Jay and Silent Bob. Like, you know, at the end of Clerks, when Silent Bob finally fucking talks, it's like monumental. Where fucking Conor McGregor's talking all the fucking time. Everybody's talking all the time. There's so much talking and none of it is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say, I think this is what I was saying before. You're comparing and contrasting, right? Because the main henchman in the original was Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Who didn't really talk a lot. He just gave the look.
And he listened to the most ridiculous music. It's like Lawrence Welk's or something like that. When he's driving down the highway and he's just like singing along. No.
That's the bad guy. But his main henchman, Jimmy.
Sorry, yeah.
Right? That wore the denim shirt all the time.
And the like indigenous necklace or whatever.
Yeah, he'd be like, come here. And he'd just grab her like, let's go. And then he only had... like, his major line was once him, just before he got his, you know, because you can, and this is my criticism, you can't have a movie called fucking Roadhouse without a throat getting ripped the fuck off somebody.
Yes! Why did why did Jake Gyllenhaal not rip someone's throat out? Why? Why?
That's Roadhouse.
Yes.
But that's what I'm saying. Roadhouse. Before Jimmy Reno in the original gets his throat ripped out and he's beating the shit out of Patrick Swayze, he had... you know, his major line was like, he literally picks up Swayze from behind, puts his lips to his ear, and he's like, I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
That's right.
That was his line before he got his ripped.
It's a great line, though. It's a great line.
Because I think that's the thing, like, in terms of the original, and I think that was my criticism, like, in terms of the original and this one, like, Gyllenhaal, like, give him credit. Like, he is ripped to shit. Like, he looks fucking great, right? Swayze, he was lean. He was
well, because he's a dancer. He's not a fighter, right?
No, so. but that's the thing. No one took him seriously, even in his job. Like, they're always like, oh, I thought you'd be bigger, right? Like, oh, everybody was like, I want to take you on, right? Because that was the joke. Like, oh, I could take you because you're so small. And then he'd be like, outside. And then he'd walk the people outside and then just walk back in.
That's
he's
right.
Like, there you go. Right? And this one, like, Gyllenhaal's ripped to shit. But, you know, everybody's like, I want to take you because I have to. Because I'm, you know, that's what it says in the script.
That's
like,
right.
For a guy who, you know, in underground fights, people are super scared of, and they're like, I will fight anybody for fucking money. They won't fight them, but, you know, the drunk fox or the bikers are like, I'll take you on, motherfucker.
So that actually leads me into another big issue with it. So again, the original Roadhouse, you go to both the New York bar, let's say it's in New York, right? That bar is packed, it's pumping, it's full, like, it's physically full. Even when he goes to the, like, D-Gen bar down in the South, it's rough, but it's busy. Like, you can see why dude's like, I've got this great club. People really want to come here, but there's a bit of a bad element. And then so you cruise in. People are having a good time. They're rowdy. And then a fight will break out, and it'll get taken care of. And then another fight will break out, and it'll get taken care of. Again, back to my whole comment about this being, like, a wannabe parody. First off, you roll into this bar. It's, like, the afternoon. It's fucking dead, which is fine. It's the afternoon. And then people are just fighting randomly. Like, again, it was like Family Guy-esque. Like, ah, I'm going to fight you. No, I'm going to fight you. Do, 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 do. Like, there's just random fights starting for no reason. And at no point is this bar, in my opinion, big, like, busy enough for this chick to be giving him $5,000 a week to make it better. You know what I mean? Like, it never seems to really get, like, jam-packed.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I think even so, like, once you get to the ending, and technically, you know, spoilers, it gets destroyed. So everything, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal was hired to do, he technically didn't do, because the bar got destroyed at the end of the movie. And I'm assuming it was an after effect, because they had to put in the dialogue that, you know, this underground meeting that's in the middle of the ocean was at 5 a.m., right? To explain why the bar, because the whole movie is the bar during the daytime and with people in it. Now it's like, why is it daytime again and it's dead empty? So they had to throw in that, like, 5 a.m. line to kind of explain, like, you know, it's closed. That's why.
So sometimes I was watching this film and I'm like, I feel like this bar has been written as the reasonable facsimile of a bar by someone who's never been in a bar or worked in a bar. Because every scene, when they're opening, they're cleaning up from the night before. I'm like, you do realize you do that at the end of your shift. Like, it's, you don't just leave all that glass on the floor and come in at 11 and start fucking cleaning it up. You know what I mean? I was just like, and it was like that all the time. It's like this, like I said, this bar seemed like it was done by someone who's never actually worked in a bar or maybe even been in a fucking bar.
Yeah, quite possibly. All right, but that's the thing. Like, in my opinion, do you want to watch this? It's something like for,
should people watch it? There's a good question for you.
Here's the thing, right? Like, if he was so upset that this thing didn't hit theaters, he should be thanking Amazon right now that it never hit theaters, because this movie would have bombed. Like, just off word of mouth, this movie would have bombed.
100%.
Right?
Hold on. I want you to hold that. This is one of the quotes from Doug Liman in his, you know, open letter where he's criticizing Amazon. When Roadhouse opens at South by Southwest Film Festival, I won't be attending. The movie is fantastic. Maybe my best. I'm sure it will bring the house down and possibly have the audience dancing in their seats during the end credits. Amazon fucking saved your fucking ass. I mean, I do have a quote from Variety about the budget and why it didn't get a theatrical release. According to Variety, Amazon, the filmmakers and the star Jake Gyllenhaal were given a choice of $60 million budget and a theatrical release, or $85 million in streaming. They chose the latter. So, if Amazon, I feel like if Amazon execs would have, like, saw this and been like, holy shit, this is fucking dope, it would have gone in the theater. I think they fucking watched it. They saw what you and I just saw, and they were like, yep, this is going to do just fine on our streaming service. Thank you. Like,
yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, this remake is long gestating, right? Because originally it was, like, when Ronda Rousey was still in UFC. Because she was supposed to be Dalton.
Yeah, and honestly, it's unfortunate that we didn't get to see that. Because I think with a decent script and a solid director, which Doug Liman should be, again, Bourne Identity, like, he should have been able to do this. I think Ronda Rousey as Dalton, except that she's a fucking bitch, like, in reality. Like, if she could just chill the fuck out and be kind of that Patrick Swayze or even Gyllenhaal style, like, calm, it would have been cool. It would have been a cool flip the script. Unfortunately, she got her ass knocked out in 2015 and a bunch of other shit happened. And therefore, they were like, pass.
Yeah, but I think that's why you still have the UFC element in this movie, because I think it needed to be kind of shoehorned in, and my guess is
it didn't need to be. They went and shot the UFC scenes with Jake Gyllenhaal recently, so they could have just rewrote the fucking script.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it could have been, like, in terms of from when this first started with her attached, and at the time she was a UFC fighter. Mm-hmm. So my guess is, you know, UFC probably had a stake in this film as well. Similar to when Dwayne Johnson started, like The Rock started in movies. His first couple of movies were WWE studio. Like, Vince McMahon was an executive producer on The Mummy Returns and fucking round oh my, rundown, right? Because he would go like he was going by Dwayne The Rock Johnson because Rock was in there and WWE owned the trademark at the time.
Maybe I just so, think they. I just think I'll be honest. I think that they thought, hey, it's a way to do this without going like kind of shot for shot remake of the original. Maybe you're right. Maybe the UFC, they were like already had some contract stuff that was already worked out and they were just, fuck it. We don't want to like open this can of worms up again. Yeah, I think they did a fucking shitty job. I think Doug Liman, like I said, Doug Liman should be really happy that Amazon did not put this in the theaters because that for something to like, this thing will do fine on streaming. I think it's probably one of the top stream films right now on Amazon. So that always feels nice. You know what doesn't feel nice? Putting your movie in a fucking theater and having it just fucking tank, right? Like, this thing has a 63% from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes, 57% from the audience. A movie like this, it should be the opposite. The critics can say whatever the fuck they want, but like the audience should just be like full of fucking testosterone and be like, oh, I fucking love this movie. The fact that Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, what's the original?
The Rotten Tomatoes on the original? I don't know. Maybe our producer can pull up the Rotten Tomatoes on that while we're talking. Because, I mean, the original also did bet. I mean, it did get a like, obviously a theatrical release and the world was different then. But they made the original for $15 million and it did $61, $62 million at the box office. Not bad for just like a fucking fight movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm on it right now. So 41 from the critics, 67 from the audience.
Oh, there you go. I don't know. I disagree. I think that if audiences watch this new Roadhouse and go watch the old Roadhouse, go on Rotten Tomatoes and fucking bump that score up because it's like in comparison, you're going to be like, this is a motherfucking masterpiece.
Yeah. Like I said, man, big hair, big tits and big explosions.
Yeah, man.
Shit explodes that you don't even realize need to explode.
Yeah. But it also even like the cast in that film, like you've got, Sam Elliott and you have Jeff Healey. Like it's so dope. Like it's very, what I like about the original Roadhouse too is that it's like a very contained film other than like, yeah, they kind of drive around the town and stuff like that. But like once they're in the town, it's nice and tight. Most of the Roadhouse stuff happens in a roadhouse. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, big drone shots of like the forest and trying to be all baller. And like, I don't know what the fuck he was trying to do. Again, this film is all over the place.
I agree. It is. But you know, do you know what made the original Roadhouse so good?
Jeff Healey?
All they had to do was pan the camera around because every major set piece was in the same parking lot.
Oh, and there's tons of nudity.
The mechanics and the dealership were all
they're all right there. Same parking lot. The amount of like boobs that are like out in the original Roadhouse, I'm just like, holy shit, I forgot how much like big titty action was going on. And you're right, it's like very late 80s, early 90s, like the blonde, very blonde, the boobs, very boobs, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the best joke in that original was the guy who's like super drunk and he was like all happy about his wife's like the fucking fake breasts he got his girlfriend and yeah. He was like, if $20 and you can kiss him, and he was like, what, do it, and then he just goes there, she takes off her top and he's just like groping them, and he was like, well, aren't you gonna kiss them? He goes, no, why, I don't have $20. And then he's just like grabbing them the whole time, and that's what starts a bar fight. But because I watched these kind of back to back, which one was it? I think it was this one, right? The new one, the remake, that all of a sudden like a fight breaks out and then somebody screams like bar fight and then they all start fighting.
Yes.
Is that this one or the original?
No, that's this one.
Yeah. And I'm like, who the fuck does, like, who sees a fight and it's like food fight?
Yeah. Again, the original one, like, it makes sense. It's a bit over the top, but it makes sense. This thing is just like, we got to do this now. We got to do this now. Like, we're going to have Conor McGregor naked because, and then of course, and I, at the end when Conor McGregor, I don't want to give too much away, but like that ending part, I wonder if it's because of the similar contracts that like The Rock has, where he's like, he can't die, he can't lose a fight, he can't do this, he can't do that. I wonder if that is taking place, or do they have some stupid idea about like there's gonna be a sequel, like, which I found out, by the way, did you know there's a Roadhouse 2? Like, from the original, like, Roadhouse, they went and, like, no, all new people, everything else, and the cover is, like, essentially, like, Dalton, like, the cooler, with these two, like, big-titted ladies. Like, I was like, Roadhouse 2, direct to video, direct to your VHS.
Oh, that was the day, man. I'm trying to remember if I, 2006 movie. No, man, I don't think I ever watched this,
like,
film.
I said, I didn't even know it existed. Anyway, I listen, it's on Amazon. Watch it. If you're gonna watch them back to back, watch the new one first, because you're gonna get into the old one and you're gonna be like, ah, there it is, there's the fucking movie I thought I was gonna watch. But I'm gonna leave, unless, do you have anything else to say, because I want to leave on our quote, on my quote or whatever.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the one thing that works better in this film than the original is the costume design, because, you know, the doctors are actually in scrubs, not tight red skirts.
Fuck that. Who wants tops. That shit? I don't care. I would rather a tight red skirt over a fucking stethoscope any day. I just realized, too, the Double Deuce in the original, you could actually just call this movie Double Deuce, because it is like two shits. But my quote is from Ritada Elfotadal. From the AV Club. It doesn't have much in entertainment value. A by-the-book actioneer that's sunk by indifferent performances, muddled storylines, and stilted dialogue.
And that is our wrap for the day. Please like and subscribe to this podcast. Tell your friends. If you want to get a hold of us, reach us at the www.howdyoulikethatmovie.com.
See Roadhouse, like, I'd go, like, I just watched it. I would go tonight and watch the old Roadhouse in a theater, have a beer, chill out, watch Swayze. Oh, one of the things I loved about Swayze, because he is like a dancer, like a ballet dancer, not when he jumps, he jumps out of his like apartment or whatever there, and he does like a very stylized like ballet dance. I'm like, that's the same jump he does when he jumps off the stage at the end of Dirty Dancing.
Oh, they're back to
nobody back, puts Dalton not? In the corner.
No, nobody does.
Production by Rod Shaver, Vader Monkey Productions.